Great. So it's about 5 o'clock, so why don't we get rolling? Welcome, everybody. Today's session is PC 318, otherwise known as the Great Database Consolidation, Project Server 2010 to 2013, Migration in 8 Easy Steps. For those of you I have not met before, my name is Rich Van Langen. How many of you have done migrations for 2013 already in here? One or two over there? Great fun, wasn't it? So how many of you are planning to do migrations in the future? Yeah, a whole bunch of you. Okay, so we'll get you set up good for that. All this information will be very useful for doing your migrations. So I like this graphic. This is kind of what we're referring to when people think about the great database migration. Cranking all those project server databases we had in 2010 into one big project service database in 2013. That's what we'll show you how to do. So a little bit about me in terms of my background. I work for Sensei Project Solutions. I have many years of experience in project management, working with both project server, portfolio server. I've done small deployments, and I've done some really big international deployments, up to 14,000 global users. Way back in the day, I started out as an electrical engineer and have worked in many different types of industries, both as an engineer and project manager. I've worked in aerospace, pharmaceutical, fiber optics, communications, software development, just a few of the industries I've worked in. I make my home right now in central New York State, where it's nice and cold, and they got a big snowstorm coming in tonight, so I'm glad I'm here today. And I have my project server and SharePoint technical certifications from Microsoft, and I also have my PMP certifications from PMI. So let's take an overview look at migration before we get down into nitty-gritty of all the details. This is a picture I like where most people envision migration of a really tough process, immensely complex, fraught with all kinds of challenges and pitfalls. Reminds me of this mousetrap game that came back when I was a kid back in the 60s. Okay, it's not really quite that bad. The reality is a little bit different. So in reality, our migration has a clearly defined process, consists of three main sections: planning and preparing for the upgrade, copying your 2010 databases to your new database server that you're going to use for your farm in 2013, and consolidating your project server databases and upgrading those consolidated project server databases and your content database also. My goal in this session is to give you an overview of all those primary activities. I'm going to really focus on the third one, because that's where most of the database activities with the project server databases occur. There's a lot of detail in this deck, so don't try to copy it all down or you can take pictures of the slides if you want, I don't really care, but they're going to be available afterwards, so you don't have to copy the information. I encourage you to just sit back and kind of take in the flow of it and the big picture of what you have to do for migration, because this is all going to be available, and there's references at the end that you can use too. So additional information is on TechNet. We're not going to concentrate on those sections 1 and 2, but they are available on TechNet. If you want to go to that link, you can get that. This is a picture of a Visio wall chart, where I think it's available in PDF format too, that's on TechNet. And we're going to follow this as our guide. It gets a little bit confusing when we go through the presentations. There's a lot of meat in there, different areas, and I don't go through every step in every one of those areas. So I try to give you an indication of where we are by putting this A, B, and C circles on here, and I put that on some of the slides so you don't get tangled up with where we are in the presentation, how it relates to this overall process. So when you see that, A, B, and C, you'll know when you reference this back, I'll look at it later on, what section we were or are referring to. This little bit in this red square down in the corner on the lower right, that's the project server database piece. Right, that's where we're going to be concentrating and spending most of our time. So there is a summary handout For any of you that go past by the Sensei booth, I don't know if you've been there or not, but please stop by again. I think the hall is closed after we get done with this session, but certainly first thing in the morning, there'll be handout cards available that summarize all of the steps that we're going to be going over today. So all you have to do is show up. They're free down there, and we're more than happy to give you any of those because they're front and back. These are all the steps that take place. This is an overview of that chart that's on TechNet. So it's a good reference, so please stop by and grab that and just say hi and tell me what you thought of the presentation and what I can do to improve it. That's always great. So section one is planning and preparing for your migration. So before starting, you must understand how your SharePoint form in 2010 was set up and how you're going to set up your new SharePoint form in 2013. You have to note your key upgrade items. You have to gather your current configuration information and plan for any type of customizations you may have in your environment. You have to deploy your 2013 form because we need something we're going to migrate to, right? You have to prepare the Windows Shell PowerShell environment. It's very important because a lot of these commands we're going to be using for the migration are done in Windows PowerShell. Excuse me, SharePoint PowerShell, not Windows PowerShell. It won't work at all in Windows PowerShell, but it has to be SharePoint PowerShell. You want to verify that your database is in native mode or you won't be able to migrate the databases. And you want to check for known data issues. There are some issues that are known that are going to cause problems, and you want to check with them proactively to make sure you can address them. The section B piece, or section two here, is copying your databases to your new SQL Server. For those of you that are familiar with SQL Server Management Studio, it's really pretty straightforward, but you have to copy those databases from your old environment to your new environment. There's no in-place upgrade from 2010 to 2013. And then section three, that's the real meat and potatoes. You have your content database upgrade piece, and that has two parts to it, right? You want to attach your content database, and then you want to upgrade the SharePoint content database. It's real important because there's important information about parts of your 2010 installation that are in the content database, not just your project workspaces, which is very important, and all the information there, but also PDPs and things like that reside in your content database. And the second piece of this is the project server upgrade piece, and that's where you consolidate those project server 2010 databases into that one project service database. And then you take that one consolidated database and you attach it to your web application. And then you upgrade the actual data in there. So that's the piece we're going to be concentrating on, that phase two piece down here, the project server upgrade pieces. I'm going to be going through everything at a higher level, but that's the one we're going to really get into the detail on. So native mode verification, in that first section, a couple key things from a database perspective you have to take into account. One of them is native mode verification. Right? They must be in native mode in order for you to migrate it. And from a project server administrator perspective, that translates to backward compatibility mode. If you're in backward compatibility mode, you have to switch that off first before you'll be able to migrate the database. Turn that off. If you were in it, you have to turn it off, and then you can migrate the databases. You have to open and save the enterprise globally after doing that. So for those of you that are SharePoint administrators with SQL admins and you're not sure how it works in PWA, we're just going to show you how to turn that off. So when you get in there and you go into server settings in PWA, you go to server settings, you go to operational policies, you go to additional server settings, and in additional server settings, there's a section, you can see it right here, right over here, where there'll be a check mark for backwards compatibility mode. If you go in there, there's nothing checked there, you're golden, you don't have to do anything, you just exit out of there, and you don't have to make any changes. If there is a check mark box in that backward compatibility mode, you have to remove that check box or check mark, and save it, then you have to go and open your Enterprise Global and resave your Enterprise Global. Okay? So we also, in that first section, talked about checking for known data issues. So when it comes to checking for known data issues, there are some very definite issues, and this is one of the key ones that you have to look into. For resource accounts, there's a WRES account field. If it contains an empty string instead of a null string, you're going to have a problem. All right? The migration tools expect to have a null in that field. And if it's not, you're going to have real issues with it. So you have to check to see if it has an empty string. And if it does, then you can do some corrective actions in order to get a null in there instead of an empty. So there's two scripts, and these are not PowerShell. These are SQL Server scripts that you would run in SQL Server Management Studio to, A, check for that condition, and B, if it does find that condition, you can go ahead and remedy that condition by running the second script. So I mentioned before, everything's done in PowerShell for the migration. So for those of you that aren't familiar with PowerShell, we'll just go over that a little bit so you can be familiar with how to use that. All right. We use PowerShell's commands exclusively for all the command lists we're going to be going over for migration are SharePoint PowerShell, not Windows PowerShell, but SharePoint PowerShell. And what you have to do to check if you have the right permissions and you have things loaded properly is to run this get command SP project, asterisk, SP project, there. And that will give you some feedback in terms of whether or not you have the right permissions in order to be able to run the upgrade commands. So for those of you that aren't familiar with PowerShell and how PowerShell commands work, they're called commandlets in PowerShell. They have a certain structure. They have a verb-noun structure. So when you see a command, you can see one up here on the top there for this. All right, you have your verb-noun structure. So first you have a verb, and then you have a dash and a noun. So it's easy to remember if you have the form right by checking it, you know, in English terms, grammar terms, in terms of whether it's a verb and then a noun. So you have the get command, and it's just getting all the project commands. That's what the SP project is. When you run that command here, you want to see a list of all these are just project server commands, PowerShell commands. If you don't get that response, you've got some issues you have to look at. And there could be multiple reasons for that. You might be running it on the wrong server. You might be in Windows PowerShell instead of SharePoint PowerShell. You might not have the right permissions to do that. So it's important to make sure, as a prerequisite before you're going, that you do a check, make sure you have access to all those project server PowerShell commandlets. And there's going to be a lot of demos throughout this session. I just want to tell you what we did was, rather than switch back and forth between multiple machines, we captured the demos so you can see them and we could edit a lot of the extra time out of that. I didn't want anybody sitting here when I combined databases and it took an hour to run and, you know, you're twiddling your thumbs. That'd be an awful long session. So you'll see, and this is a good example to start. This shows you how it looks like when you run the SharePoint PowerShell check. It's pretty straightforward. You just type in that command. My typing was a little bit slow the first time here. It gets better. But you put it in there and you hit enter on the command, and you'll see all those commandlets come out. So it's really straightforward, but if you try to run that and it shrugs and you don't get any response or can't find anything, then you know you have an issue and you have to make sure you're on the right machine and the right PowerShell. You have the bits for Project Server are installed, those sort of things. So next you have to copy. It is. We'll get to that in a minute when you check the databases, but if you run into some issues, there's database check commands you do. So if you want to just, if we could hold the questions till the end, we have a question and answer period, we can get them all then, but yeah, that is the same. So let's talk about database copying. So you'll use SQL Server Management Studio to back up your databases. Then you just take those backups and bring them over to your new database server that's supporting your new farm, and you would restore them there. Remember, you have to have all five databases, and when you back up, make sure you do a full backup on them. You don't have to delete the old databases on the old farm, because it's going to be completely separate. Okay, so this is just showing you in SQL Server Management Studio, kind of got a couple of cascading windows here, but it shows you how to get to, you know, the different areas where you can do your backup and restore. Go under tasks in there, you can backup or restore a database right from there. It'll take you to a location. You specify the location. It'll go to the default one, but you specify a location where you want to save those backups. And then when you move over to the new SQL Server, wherever you move them to, then you can restore them. It's just a reverse order. Make sure you get all five databases, the four project server databases, and your content database. If you have any questions about where the content database is, you can go to SharePoint Central Administration, and you can look it up right in there. You can go to the web application, and you can see what content database is being associated with that. You can also do that with the PowerShell commands if you want to. So the content database upgrade, I'm going to list the commands for that because this is a prerequisite for your project server database upgrades. So you have to go through this. I'm not going to go into as much detail on these, but it's basically six steps for that. You want to check your database for errors. You want to attach and upgrade the database. After you've done that, then you have to take ownership of your site collection. Now, number four is an optional step. It really depends upon how you were authenticating users in the old environment. If you were using Windows Classic Authentication, you would have to migrate them over to claims-based authentication, right? But it's an optional. Not everybody has to do that particular step. But we list that as step four. After you've done that, you want to check the SharePoint site for any issues. And then you want to upgrade the SharePoint site. This is all related to just the content database piece.
What is number four? Step number four?
Number four is migrate users from Windows-based authentication to claims-based, Windows Classic Authentication to claims-based authentication. This next slide will probably help a little bit, okay? Because on this next slide, we give you a little bit fuller description of that. All right, in terms of, you know, check your SharePoint content database for errors that can be caused your upgrade. You attach the SharePoint content database, take ownership of the site collection that you want to upgrade. And this is step four, a little more detail, where you migrate from Windows Classic Authentication to claims-based authentication. But that's an optional step. Not everybody's going to have to do that step. Five is just checking the SharePoint site for issues that can cause your upgrade to fail. And six is to upgrade the actual SharePoint site. So every one of these is represented by a PowerShell commandlet. So I've left the steps on the left-hand side there with a description, and then the PowerShell commandlet on the corresponding PowerShell commandlet on the right-hand side. So the first one is you're going to test your SharePoint content database. You know, notice the verb, noun, order. We talked about the commandlets here on all of these. And you would mount your SharePoint content database, and you would set your SharePoint site. All right, then you would get your web application, you test your SharePoint site, and then you would upgrade the SharePoint site. So it tracks pretty regularly there from one to the other. Now, remember we talked about the commandlets having a verb-noun format. After that, you have a dash, and dashes are for different required or optional parameters after that. I mention that because I want to show you what the required parameters are. When we go through all these PowerShell commandlets, we're going to show you what the required parameters are. There may be additional parameters, but they're the optional ones. We're going to list in the slides the required ones that you have to have in order for it to work. You have to specify. So you can see here, the step on the left in the middle column, you see the actual commandlet that we showed you before, and then it shows you more detail on the right-hand column of the things that are required in terms of, you know, that first one. You have to have the content database name, you have to have the web application, and you need to list the server instance. All right? So I'm not going to read all of those out, but that's what those other parameters are there. So we've gone through all those other prerequisites. Those are all things that you have to do before you go ahead and do your upgrade. And now it's time to do that upgrade, the project server upgrade piece itself. So let's go into that and go through the 8 steps associated with that. So these are the ones that were listed in the title. Everybody's been waiting to see these. So the first one is your existing database consolidation. After you've done that, you want to attach the database to your web application. Then you do an error check on your database. Once you get your errors checked clean, things are in good shape, then you go ahead and upgrade the database. Then you mount the PWA instance. You do an error check on the PWA instance. Then you upgrade it. And the very last piece is the feature enable for the PWA instance. So once you have that all done, you're in good shape. You have your upgraded Project Server 2013 site. So I'm going to go through all of these individually. These are the ones we're going to go into a little bit more detail on. So the first one is your existing database consolidation. By the way, just a word of how we've set up the presentation at the end here. There's actually roughly 5 sections that we follow as we go through each one of these steps. We'll give you a description of it. Then we'll show you the PowerShell command to do that step. Then we'll show you what the required parameters are for that step. And we'll give you a sample based upon a sample environment I'll show you in a minute of what that command that would actually look like. And then we have a little demo, like I showed you before, of running the actual commandlet with all the extra time taken out of it. So you don't have to twiddle our thumbs too much. So we follow that format through all of these 8 steps so you can follow that sequence. So once again, there's a lot of details here. Don't try to copy these all down. You can try if you want, but I think it'll be tough to keep up with them. I'm trying to pick up the pace a little bit here so I don't draw this out too much for you guys. I know it's late in the day. But these presentations are going to be available. And also, a lot of information on these little handout cards that you can pick up tomorrow morning. So let's go ahead and continue. So first one is our existing database consolidation. So this is when we consolidate our 4. We don't have to worry about a content database. Remember, we took care of the content database in that previous 6 steps. Right now, we're going to concentrate on our project server database. So there's 4 project server databases. You've got your archive, draft, published, and reporting. They all go away. You just have 1 database in 2013. It's no longer called a project server database, though. It's called a project service database in 2013, not a project server database anymore. So the PowerShell commandlet to consolidate those databases is convert-SharePoint project database. But look at the format of it. All right. It's a biggie, and it's a biggie because you have to list the names of all of those databases that you're going to be consolidating. You've got to list the name of the database server, and you also have to tell it what you want the name for the new database to be. Okay. So these are the required parameters for that commandlet. You have the web application you have to list, database server, all of the databases you're going to be using, plus what you want the new database to be. That very last one is your project service database. All right, I'm going to combine all of these. What do you want me to combine them into? Those are all the required parameters for this particular commandlet. I told you I'd have 5 steps we'd go through and talk about every one of these, each step's all together, but the 5 segments, we'd break them down into when we went through those 8 steps. I'm going to deviate a little bit because in order for me to give you a sample architecture or a sample commandlet, I have to base that on something. And that's what this is. We're going to use a very basic, simplified architecture, but when I show you a sample commandlet, it's going to be based upon this architecture where you've got a web front-end server, you have an application server, you have a database server, and you can see the name of the databases we're going to be using right down there on the lower right. So we have your traditional project server database names. I called them Project Server 2010, so we can tell those are the ones that we're migrating versus a project service database. I named that Project Service 2013, so you know that one. That's the one that we're migrating to. Also, you'll see I have a web application in there because at a certain point we're going to have to specify what the web application is. So that's why I have that senseiprojectserver.com. That's the name of the web application we'll be using in the sample commandlets. So based upon that sample architecture, this is what the sample commandlet will look like. So I put some spaces or returns in there in spaces so you can read it a little bit better. But remember, all those commandlets follow the verb noun format. So convert to what you're going to do. What are you going to convert? The SharePoint project database. The required parameters, the dash web application would be the senseiprojectserver.com. That's the web application in that sample architecture we looked at. The database server is senseidb01. And then the database names follow what we showed you before in those slides. The archive database name, project server 2010 archive, draft, published, reporting, all the way down the line to the last one, which is the project service database name, which is the new one we're going to be creating, and that is project service 2013_PWA. So when you run that commandlet, you're going to be prompted for confirmation that you want to continue. So you would reply yes to that, and you will get a message at the end. Not all time you get a message at the end. Sometimes it just returns at a command prompt. But you will get a message after this confirming that your conversion of the project database has been completed. So let's take a look at that. All right. Step one, existing database consolidation. So first we're looking over in SQL, we're in SQL Server Management Studio. And in SQL Server Management Studio, you can see right there that you have your four Project Server 2010 databases that have been restored to that environment. You don't have a project or service database any longer. But if we go over to our PowerShell command, you can see I'm specifying here the command, what the web application is, SharePoint 2013 PS, the database server. Let me pause this just for a minute to clarify something for you. The environment we're running this against was built separately. So some of the names are a little bit different in here, like the web applications or the database server is a little bit different in here for the command prompts. The names we used in the samples before we got to the actual demo screen correspond exactly to that demo environment. But because the existing environment was created that we ran as against, the names are a little bit different in here. So that's why I'm trying to describe these as I go through. That's why when you say, hey, wait, I thought you said the database server had a different name. Well, the sample shows the correct name of that database server. This is just for this particular environment. That's why the names are a little bit different here. So I'll describe them as we go through. So the database server there is P15 SQL. And here are your database names that are the same, your archive, 2010 archive, your draft 2010 database. Over here is your published database name, Project Server 2010 published, and your reporting database name is Project Server 2010 reporting. This last one is your service database name. So we're going to name it Project Service 2013_PWA. Once you have all that information in, you'll hit the return key, and it'll ask you, hey, do you want to continue or not? You have to confirm that you want to go ahead and proceed with this operation. So you just put a yes in there and hit enter. And this is where we chopped a lot of time out. Depending upon the amount of data you have, it could really spin for a while there. Okay? But I just scrolled up a little bit here. And you'll see when it gets done, It'll come back with this message saying your conversion of your project database is complete. Then you can go back over to SQL Server Management Studio and you can take a look for that. Well, guess what? You're not going to see it. All right? You have to refresh your view here in SQL Server. Once you refresh it, then you'll be able to go down that list. And if you look hard, you can see your new service database is right there. Okay. Pretty straightforward. It's a really long PowerShell command. And when you type it in, I guarantee you, like me, you'll have a couple of typos in there the first couple of times, and it'll bark at you and say, hey, this database doesn't exist, or something like that. So you have to get it clean when you can run it. Runs just fine. Don't get concerned if it takes a while to run, because there's very little data in the databases we use for this demo. But if you have a lot of data in there, it's going to take a while to crunch through there. Don't panic. You know, get up, go get a cup of coffee, come back, give it a little while to complete. Hasn't gone away completely. It's working hard in the background there. It's not going to, I guarantee you, it won't go as quickly as this will. Can you hold that? We're going to try to take all the questions at the end, if that's all right.
Okay.
So let's go to our second step. What we do in the second step is we attach a database to the web application itself. So you need to attach the project services database that we just created in step one to the web application in your server farm. It's already set up there. Your farm's already set up at this point. So there's our database, and we're going to attach that over to the web application in the farm. So the PowerShell commandlet to attach a database is mount SharePoint project database. So the format of that is you mount dash SharePoint project database. You have to give the name of the database that you're mounting. You have to give the web application you're mounting it to and the name of the database server. So there's three main parameters there: the name of the database, database server, and the web application. And based upon our simplified architecture, this is what it looks like with those actual names in there. So when you go ahead and run that, you'll get a command prompt. It's not going to give you any kind of confirmation. It's not going to ask you, are you sure you want to run this? This one's just going to go do its thing and then come back. This is what it looks like when you do it. So you have mount. That's the command right there, mount SharePoint project database. The name is the name of the database that we had created, the project service 2013. The web application there is SharePoint 2013 PS. And your database server is P15 SQL in this particular example. So you hit enter, and it just returns like that. It doesn't give you any confirmation or anything like that. If you had a problem with the command, it would come back, and in red it would tell you what the problem is. But if you run it successfully, it just runs and it returns, and it's fine. You don't have any issues with it. So your third one is your database error check. That's the third step. So what we do in that step is we want to check that project web app database for any errors that are going to cause the upgrade to fail. So the PowerShell commandlet to do that is test SharePoint project database. The format for that commandlet, you have to include the name of the content database, the web instance, and the database server. So those are the required parameters for that particular one. And this is what the simplified, based on our simplified architecture diagram, what the actual commandlet would look like. Test SharePoint project database. Name is project service 2013 _PWA _database. and the database server would be Sensei DB01. So any possible errors with the data will post. It'll suggest a possible remedy for that error. And it's important that you take a look at an upgrade blocking flag. If there is a true value in that upgrade blocking flag, you have to address it. You have to fix it, or you're not going to be able to upgrade it. Sometimes you'll have errors, but they aren't blocking errors. Blocking errors are the ones you really have to deal with and have to concentrate if you get any of them. So let's take a look at how that one looks. So here's your commandlet. You test SharePoint project database. So the name, that's your project service database earlier. Your database server is P15 SQL. Once you have that all in there, you'll hit enter. And see, you've got three items there. The last one is an error it lists there. But look at the blocking, right? The blocking is still false. So it tells you what the error is. Those roles are missing from the database. It's not going to stop you from upgrading it. You might want to take a note of that because you might want to add those roles later on, though. Or you can fix that. You can run this command again, the commandlet again, to make sure it resolved that error, and then you can continue on. The important message out of step three is those blocking ones, you can't have any of the blocking flags set. So step four is the actual database upgrade itself. All right, so what you do in step four is you upgrade the new Project Web App database to Project Server 2013. So this is the command that you'd use to do that. It's the upgrade SharePoint project database. This is the format of that. You have to specify the project web app name, the web URL, and your database server. Those are the required parameters. Just three on that one. This is what that sample commandlet looks like based upon our simplified architecture. That's exactly how you'd specify it. All of these, you'll notice, you know, you've got that verb noun format separated by a dash at the beginning, then you have a space, and then you have those other parameters after it. All right, the required ones and the name of the required parameter. So after this, after you have that entered and hit enter on your command prompt, you're going to be prompted if you want to continue on this one. This is one that will prompt you. And when it's finished, it'll return you to PowerShell. You don't see many confirmation on this one to either when you get done. So this is how the actual commandlet will look. There's the actual commandlet right there that you would type in. After that is the dash name, and that's where you put your project service database in. Your web application is there afterwards, and your database server. You just hit enter there. You see that confirmation come up. You give it the affirmative yes to the confirmation. And you see what happens. Just returns, not very spectacular stuff here, but it's a good thing. When it just returns like that, it doesn't have any errors or anything. That means it's working right. Makes life a lot easier. So your fifth step is mounting your Project Web App instance. So what you do in step five is you connect your new Project Web App database to a Project Web App instance in Project Server 2013. So actually, you're linking the two of those together in that step. Pretty straightforward. The command that you use to that is mount SharePoint Project Web Instance, as you might expect. The format of that is mount-sharepoint web instance. Has your database name you have to provide. You have to have the site collection URL this time. This is different. You just have the web application before, now you have to have the site collection URL also, and the database server. So notice you have database name, site collection, database server are the required parameters for this. Based on our sample architecture, this is what it would look like. All right, you'd have your database name. We've used that one before. We're familiar with that. But notice your site collection, that senseiprojectserver.com/PWA. Before, we just were using our web application. Now we have our site collection, which has that additional PWA on there. And then we have our database server again. So once this one gets done, another one just bounces you right back to the command prompt. So this is what it looks like. Mount your SharePoint project web instance. Your database name, same as we used before. Your site collection has that site sensei1 PWA. And your database server is the same as we used before, that P15 SQL. It'll just run. It'll come back. When it comes back, you'll have your mounted PWA instance. It comes back to the command prompt like that. Okay. The sixth step is your PWA error check. So in step six, you check your project web app instance for issues that can cause the actual upgrade to fail. So you want to identify them and address them. So the actual commandlet looks something like this, test SharePoint project web apps instance. The format of that is you have to include the identity of that project web app instance. It's only got that one required parameter. The identity is the web app instance that you're going to be checking. So that's an easy one compared to the one you have to enter five or six different ones. That first one we did the convert database. This one's pretty straightforward. So based on our simplified architecture, test SharePoint web instance, the identity of that, which is the web application and your site collection, right? And we've got a little additional command there on the end with a funny line. Anybody in here know what that is? Well, I'll tell you what that is. Okay. That is formatting we put at the end there. If we didn't put that in there, it'd be really hard to read, especially if there's a lot of errors and things like that. A, it wouldn't wrap, and B, it would just scroll madlessly to the end, and you'd have to scroll back up to look at stuff, and it could be buried in there. So we put some formatting commands in there. So those are additional PowerShell instructions to output the display in a readable format when you're doing that, especially if you have a lot of errors. It's very helpful. Okay. So what that is called a vertical pipe. And you use a vertical pipe in PowerShell to join together different PowerShell commands. That's what we're doing with that. Not only are we doing the basic command that we talked about, but then you're formatting that table, you're just telling it to wrap. And what that more on the end means after the second pipe means do one page at a time, stop there. When I hit enter, then do the next page. Okay? So what this commandlet does is it checks for issues such as if problems or if your BI center exists for all of your project sites, or if there are unprocessed jobs in the queue, also queue status and issues with project workspaces. This will check for all those sort of things for you. In this demo, what I did is I showed you two versions, what happens when you run it without that formatting, and then what happens when you include that formatting in there. So I just put the basic commands here, the identity, and sensei PWA, and I hit enter. And you'll see it takes off, and it went so fast, there's some things you didn't even see, but you notice it doesn't even wrap on some of these things. There's a dot, dot, dot. Let me back that up a little bit for you. Yep, didn't want to back it up that far. You'll notice after this runs, there's a lot of things that just have, it gives a certain amount of information, it's just dot, 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 and that's it. All right, and you can't see the rest of it. Well, obviously, you're going to want to read the rest of it, especially if you have issues. See right there where you've got the dot, dot, dot? That doesn't do you much good. All right, but if we go ahead and we put that format table, dash wrap, and more in there, watch what happens when we run it this time. See where it says more there? Give you one page, it wraps it, then you hit enters, all right, and you can get more information each time you hit enter on there. Now, maybe a bit cryptic here, it may not be real useful for this particular information, but you can see how that works. Those extra formatting commands can save you a lot of headache when you're trying to parse that data and you're looking at it to see what the real issue is. You can see it here. Okay, so our next step, getting close to the end here, is your PWA upgrade. So in step 7, you upgrade your Project Web App Instance to Project Server 2013. So the command that you need to do that is upgrade SharePoint Project Web Instance. The format is right here. You have to include the identity of the URL or the site ID. So there's only one required parameter for that, and that's the identity. And like I say, you can specify it multiple ways. Most folks use the URL. That's what I'm going to use in this example. But you can use the site ID to do that also. So this is what our simplified commandlet looks like. Upgrade SharePoint Project Web Instance. And the identity based upon our sample architecture is the senseiprojectserver.com PWA. You will be prompted on this one if you want to continue or not. Like I said, not all of them will do that, but this particular one will prompt you. And after you run this particular one, it'll give you a confirmation message of upgrade single project site completed. So this is what the PWA upgrade looks like. So upgrade SharePoint Project Web Instance is the commandlet you're going to be using. The identity I specified here as your SharePoint 2013 PS sites in Sensei PWA. So your whole URL in there. So you'll see after we hit enter, you'll have confirmation. If you want to really perform this action, you would answer yes to that. Once it gets done, it'll tell you that your upgrade is completed. We're almost there. Hopefully I've accelerated this enough for you guys, so I won't keep you too late. I know it's getting late. So our last step is your PWA feature enable. So in step 8, you enable the PWA site features on the site collection. So you've got the features. You won't need them enabled on the collection. So that's what step 8 is all about. So this is the PowerShell command that you do that. Very straightforward. Enable SharePoint site features. Has that same format as all the commandlets do. This is the actual format. It's the verb noun with the identity, which is your PWA site. It's all, for this command, the identity is always PWA site because that tells it what features it's enabling. So it's required, but it's not going to change. For if you do multiple upgrades, you're always going to put PWA site in there. All right, that's what you're installing. And then you have to put the URL, and that's the URL of the actual PWA site collection. So like I say, we listed two different parameters there. That first parameter is never going to change. That's always going to be PWA site. All right, that's the name of the installed SharePoint feature being enabled. You're enabling the PWA site features. And then you just put the URL down there. So based on our simplified architecture diagram, this is what the actual command that would look like. Enable SharePoint site feature. identities, PWA site, and then the URL is the senseiprojectserver.com PWA. Right, when it's finished, it's going to return you the PowerShell prompt. You're not going to see any successful confirmation message. Just go back to the prompt on this one. This is what it looks like. So enable SharePoint site feature. Identity, which is always the same as PWA site. And then your URL, it's right there, SharePoint 2013 PF, site sensei PWA. You hit the enter in there, and it returns just like that. Doesn't give you any confirmation that it's successfully executed. You'll know when your site and you're looking for site features whether or not that executed the right way. But if it returns this way, it didn't have any issues. If it has problems, it'll let you know it has problems. Okay, this is what you want to see. I know it's kind of plain vanilla when it goes through without a problem and you see it here, but these are the kind of results you want to see. Typically, you'll run into some issues and you have to go back and figure out what those issues are, then you have to address those issues. So that was step 8. That was good news. So once you've got step 8 done, guess what? You have your upgraded Project Server 2013 site now. All right, so give yourself a big attaboy. Congratulations. You got it done. That's where you want to go. That's what you set out to do, right? So you completed your upgrade. You're able to access your new Project Web App site, and it'll have that migrated data on it, which is the most important thing. But remember, it takes the content database and your Project Server database to do that. Right? Because pieces from the content database have your Project Workspace data in them, and your PDPs and things like that are in the content database, and this is the rest of the data. All right, so everybody gets the big attaboy. You guys accomplished what you set out to do. You impressed everybody in your organization how easily you made it look, and that's exactly where you want to be. So, yeah, we made a pretty good time on this. We're going to take questions now. I want to remind you, I've got it on the bottom of the screen there, to remember to stop by booth 407 tomorrow just to say hi. Let me know what you think about the presentation and pick up your free card. It's a good reference card. Like I say, it's a freebie. So you might as well stop by and pick it up. And please don't forget to fill out the session evaluation form too. Okay? So I'll open up the floor for questions. There's another slide after this with some references on it. I'll put that up after we get done with the question. We'll take questions now, but these are good references. If you want to go and check out any of the PowerShell command lists, those kind of things, that'd be great. So if you guys could use the mic, there's a mic up there. I'm not sure we could probably pass it around or not, but sure, go ahead. I'm sorry?
It's okay to create a blank database before so you can specify the location of the database file
before running the... To create a blank service database?
Yeah, 2013 database, so that you can specify where the data file and the log file of the database is located. Otherwise, it will create a database on the SQL Server default location.
I guess I'm not sure why you would create a migrate a blank database. Yeah, that's a good question. So you're saying your new database, your service database, to create a blank one before you did the conversion? I believe the answer is no on that, because you specify it and you say create this new database when you're specifying it. And I think I've never done it, so I can't say absolutely, but my guess is it's going to say, hey, that database already exists, and it's going to get cranky about that because it's looking to create a new one, not to utilize an existing one. That's a good question. I mean, I'll try to find out for you because I've never tried that, but I don't believe you can start with an existing database and then create a new one into it or specify that new one. I think it's going to want to do it to create a brand new one.
Project Server.
what permission does the database upgrade to? You have to have, because you're creating a new, a new database on there, the account you're doing it under needs to have permissions on SQL in order to create the new database. Mm-hmm. So I guess you, I'm not sure, I'm not a SQL expert, but I think, I mean, obviously DBA would be perfect in SQL because you'd be able to do any of that. I know you certainly need security admin. Typically, I would look at what one of the other typical accounts, you know, would have in SQL. If you don't have adequate permissions to do it, and that's one of the issues you'll notice, you know, when you run that command, if you don't have adequate permissions, it's going to come back and say you don't have permissions to do such and such on your SQL server, and it's not going to let you proceed there. I did this all with one account, which was my SQL account, so I didn't actually have to split it that much. But if you have an account that like you're using your SharePoint admin account that may not have all the permissions you need on SQL, it'll come back and tell you which ones you need. There was a DBA on there, so I didn't have to break those down. But I believe in the migration guide listed in the reference, it'll give you the specific permissions you'll need in order to be able to do that. Oh, okay.
Go back to project server permissions.
It will default to SharePoint permissions on the 2013. So there's mixed. I think the jury's still out in terms of whether that's the preferable way to default to. The good news is there, now that you're all experts at PowerShell, okay, there are some very easy PowerShell commands that you can use to change the permission modes back and forth. Okay, if you want to Google that or if you want to send me an email, I can tell you exactly what the command is. But it's very easy in PowerShell to change the permission mode from SharePoint to project server permissions. And I've actually gotten a lot of requests to people to go back to project server permissions. They prefer that. It may just be because they're more familiar with it if they're project server people. But it works you know, perfectly well in both permission modes. Mm-hmm. from a PWA administrator perspective, or from a database perspective, or I mean, usually when I run into situations with clients that have more than one instance on the same server, they would have a production instance, and they may have a development or a test instance. That's really not a best practice, though. You want to take a test instance, your dev instance, and put it on a separate form so it's completely isolated, because a lot of things you're going to be doing with that is you're going to be checking out, you know, new code that came in, or you want to apply some updates, and you want to do it in that environment first to see if there's any problems with it. If you have it in the same on the same form, or even in the same site collection, you're going to run into problems, because what if it doesn't work? You're going to take down your production at the same time. So you really want to isolate that. So I see that sometimes. Sometimes in earlier versions, you used to have, you know, a department that wanted to have their own instance of project server. So you had a PWA IT over here, and then, you know, in the same web application, you'd have a PWA HR or something like that. That's not really necessary anymore in 2013, because even in 2010, remember, you can use the departments field, which didn't exist before, and with that, you can have different enterprise. As a result, that would isolate it, but it would all be in the same instance. So you don't see that quite as much. But usually people have a development, a validation or test instance, and then a production. And usually the development and the validation or test instance would be on a separate server, separate farm from your production. You want to keep your production pretty pristine.
Mm-hmm. We want to migrate it to multiple server farm, project server 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What are the best practices? Do we have to run all the steps in all the, for example, web front ends and web applications?
In order to migrate and multiple instances?
No. It's a project server, but not in just one server. In multiple, for example, two web front ends, two web applications. In Project Server 2010, in that kind of farm, migrated to multiple servers in a SharePoint farm in 2013.
If you run it in the farm and you have multiple servers on the farm, you're running this on your application server on the farm. You wouldn't have to perform these steps on every one of those application servers.
Just one application server.
Yeah, you'd be on. You would do it on the one application server. So remember, the application servers, they're talking to the back end. You're doing these things. The database things you're doing, talking to SQL on the back end. So it's gonna create those databases when you do the convert database command. So you wouldn't have to do it on each one because the database would already be created. You've done that operation already. If you do them on your application server from your command prompt, it's the same as doing something from central admin, essentially. So you don't have to do that on every server on the farm. Okay. You can't do it on your front end server. You want to do it on your application server, though. Or you won't be able. You definitely won't be able to do it on your database server. No more questions? Great. Thanks for staying late, guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully that would be helpful. And remember, all of these will be posted online, so you can relook the video, you can pause it, and get the nitty-gritty details of the commands from there. And please don't forget to fill out the session evaluation also. I would appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Great. Thank you. Have a good evening now.